The expectation is that in the midst of what we do and who we are, there comes that word of atonement, that word of understanding that God has done for us what we cannot on our own do, even though we try. And so we confess our sins. Let us pray. When we reflect on our lives, we find we have not been faithful as followers of the Christ whom we worship. Called to lives of gentleness, too often we are filled with anger and hurt. Invited to be generous, we tighten our grips on our clothes, our food, and even our love. Called to be just with everyone, it is all too easy to turn away those who are different from us. Because you are our salvation, you chose to forgive us, joy of our hearts. We are renewed by your love, so we can be more caring. We are given new life, so we can serve those around us. We are showered with your greatness and invited to share the joy of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, with everyone we meet. This is the good news proclaimed so long ago and needed so much today. The Lord is near, the one who is our salvation. We stand and we affirm our faith. I believe
in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge us. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
So glad to see you here, because I was told there probably wouldn't be any children. So I'm happy to see you too. How are you today? You doing okay? Okay, so I'm supposed to be flashing, but I'm not, it's not lighting up. Okay, so I want you to do me a favor. You guys are sitting there, I'm sitting this way. I want you to look straight ahead. Tell me, what do you see? I promise it's not a trick question. Just name something that you see. You see people, very good. Okay, I'm facing this way, I see flowers. Do you see flowers that way? No? Okay, so I don't want you to turn around and look that way now. What do you see? Flowers, anything else? No? Okay, I'm gonna look this way and I see people. Hi. Okay, this is my little experiment. You know, you were looking this way, I was looking this way. You saw one thing, and I saw something different. How come? Yeah, tell me why. Different things, and there is a big word called perspective, the direction that you're looking at. In our sermon that we're going to read for the grown-ups, because they need all the lessons they can get. For the grown-ups, it talks about not worrying. And I kept thinking, how on earth do we not worry? And you guys ever hear mom and dad always worrying about something, right? You two don't worry, but the rest of us, well, oh, he's giving me the look, which means he also sometimes worries. Okay, we all worry. The thing is, depending on what we're looking at, we may worry more than other times, right? Paul asked us in the readings today for Philippians, he's saying to folks to not worry, and he's telling them that while he's in prison, if I remember correctly. He's saying not to worry because there's somebody that's gonna help you deal with whatever's going on, whatever you see that may cause you to worry, right? There's something that helps you to not have to have that concern. So to me, the lesson I wanna say to you today depends on where you're looking, whether or not you're gonna worry a lot or whether you're not gonna worry. So during this time, it's almost time for that holiday. You know which holiday that is, where you get all these little things wrapped up, right? Well, we send out gifts, Christmas cards, which I do, peace on earth. We always talk about peace, and we're always talking about joy, right? We can see them up on the wall, joy, love, hope, and peace. And then all of you get up in the morning, and you've got something under the tree. Yes? Yes? Okay. So well, I have something that is supposed to be in my house, but it's not time yet. So I have it wrapped. Would you take it out for me? Can you help me get it out? Ah, thank you. Here's the box. Now you're gonna say what's inside, because this is a special gift that we're about to get. So can you come and tell me? You want her to answer? What is that? It's my baby Jesus that's supposed to be in my manger, but it can't be in there yet, right? Because Jesus hasn't had its birth. But what we're supposed to keep our eyes on, our perspective is just, we're to remember God and his son. That's gonna keep us from worrying every day about grades and do we have a best friend and all of that, right? That's what we're gonna worry about. This is the main gift that we need to look at. Everybody understand? Yeah? Okay, so my fellow Christian children, pray with me if you don't mind, okay? Close your eyes. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these two and the family they represent for coming forth and to listen so carefully with me. I want to say, Heavenly Father, that you know that we need to focus on the right things so that we don't worry. You have given us the thing that we need to focus our minds and our hearts on. So we know each day that we're going to do the best you have for us. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name.
As Beverly mentioned during children's time, our New Testament lesson on this third Sunday of Advent is taken from the fourth chapter of the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Philippians, we will read verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Here ends the reading of the Word of God for the people of God.
When we are gathered together, we are reminded of the universality of our faith. It's here now, close to us. It spreads out and expands to people around us. It reaches out to our sisters and brothers around the world. We're reminded of that in the services that we do and the inspirational programs we have, and the amount of time and energy and faith we put into prayer. This is a season of prayer. It's a season when we are especially close to that one who is God in our presence. We invite you to spend more time in prayer. I invite you to the chapel service on Wednesday with the Prayer Quilt Ministry. And that ministry reaches around the world. The quilt that's there this morning is for a family member of our congregation who lives in England. The Prayer Quilt Ministry goes all over the world. You go all over the world with your love and concern. Go to the chapel today, say a prayer, and let that person know that they're supported by your love. And the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your spirits.
We lift them up to the Lord.
We worship you, God of the good news. Yet it is understandable, given events near and far, to feel that the light we expected suddenly seems more remote than ever. Indeed, it is more like Good Friday than Advent, awaiting the appearance of the Chosen One, giving thanks in all things, worrying about nothing, strains our concept of reality. As in Good Friday, illustrations of innocence being killed, while darkness of fear and suspicion spreads about the land, seem to be the new normal. And yet there is that insistent, insinuating voice saying, believe this. Believe that we will shape our worries into prayers, and a sense of God's wholeness will begin to pervade everything we do. In the words of Paul, it's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of our life. That very expectation now calls us to confront challenges with a new authority. The challenge to maintain faith, not have it ripped from us. The challenge to examine carefully our personal priorities and emotions. The challenge to sing hallelujah when our hearts are broken. The challenge to do away with ideas that more violence brings less violence. The challenge as a country to readjust our priorities, to reevaluate where our national tendencies should be so that welcome is given to the stranger, the hungry are fed, the schools are supported. In short, that the least of these get as much attention as our recreational priorities. And above all, the task remains as Christians to be ready to tell people that spiritual welfare is vital. Paul was right. We have prayed, and now it feels different. We no longer stare into a dark abyss, but rather are lifted up by the vision of a star, and the challenges collapse into joyful affirmations of hope and renewal. And we gather with John and everyone gone before us and with each other right now to proclaim the good news to all people.